Boy, I love this song. Getting ready for the service tonight and refreshing our mind on some of these things we studied, looking at it. And I was doing some things and getting ready. And notice I've got quite a bit more material, a lot more material, especially for a psalm of 15 verses, maybe than we've had in other psalms of this same size. And I thought, man, the Lord has really let us glean a lot out of this song. I'm thankful for it. Though it's been a little while since we've been in it, I'm not going to re-preach everything. I will kind of lay out the thought this evening, and we'll get the closing verses, and we'll wrap this up tonight, if the Lord will help us. Psalm 92, let's stand together, and we will read it in its entirety, refresh your memory. Some things tonight I hope will be a help to you. The Bible said, verse number 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, yes, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth fool understand this. When the wicked springs grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my Lord, shalt thou exalt like the Lord of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire of mine enemies. And mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright and he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. You may see it tonight. Heavenly Father, one more time, quickly, Lord, not out of just a religious exercise, but Lord, out of an acknowledgement, Lord, tonight, the need of the touch of God to be upon us. I pray you help us tonight. Help us, Lord, touch our voice and our body, our mind, our heart. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, as we stand before your people and give them truth, that, Lord, you would touch us, not for our sake, but, Lord, for their sake. That, Lord, the Word of God would burn in their heart tonight, and they'd be encouraged and challenged and comforted and, Lord, changed in some way. Lord, I pray, Lord, in all of that, the Lord God of heaven would be honored and glorified this evening through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Well, thank you, Lord, for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We've been looking at Psalm 92 as one that has been authored by David. And the theme for this psalm, we find it quickly in verse number 1. As the psalmist begins here, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And so we've been looking at this psalm in light of the theme or the thought, the goodness of gratefulness. The goodness of gratefulness. It is a good thing. It's something well-pleasing, something fruitful. Something that is just morally correct. It's just the right thing for us to do. That is, the Lord would be good to us. We should be grateful for those good things he does. And the word good means it is proper, appealing, and pleasant. It carries the idea that we've been emphasizing that it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is good in the sense that it is the better of two alternatives. And the alternative simply would be to be thankful or to be unthankful, to be grateful or to be an ingrate. And certainly both things are hit upon in this psalm. And so the matter of gratefulness is the better of the two alternatives. Therefore, the psalmist concludes and and stirs our heart with the opening line of this psalm. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Giving thanks is better than the alternative of not giving thanks. And so it gives us our thought of the goodness of gratefulness. And we're just going through this psalm verse by verse, understanding that there are reasons if we ought to be grateful to the Lord. And of those, by way of introduction, we said that God commends it in many places. Number two, good men in every age have set an example to you and I that this is just the right thing to do. And a lot of things we'll never do that great men in the Word of God and women in the Word of God have done that we'll never accomplish. But this is one thing we can join good men in doing, simply thanking God. Our relationship God loudly called for you and I to understand it's just the right thing to do to give God thanks for what He does for us. Number four, this part of worship is very delightful, cheering, and animated, that it is good not only in the eyes of God, but it's good for our own soul, and we would be grateful and the praise of the Lord. Number five, we said that praise and thanksgiving is one of the few things that we can do on earth that will be retained in heaven. And of all the things that John the Beloved seen in the book of Revelation, as he seen that vision of our future prospect of glorious land, one of the things that stands out is our worship and praise and thanks to the Lamb of God for that He has done. And so we might as well get good practice now for what we're going to do for eternity, and that is to understand it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And so the goodness of gratefulness in verses 1 through 5, as we make our way through this psalm, we see the fact that there is the appreciation. In this psalm, we see the appreciation of these verses that they inspire the saint of God to be appreciative to the Lord, and these verses show us what that appreciation might look like. And quickly, we looked at the timing of our appreciation, that being morning and evening. We are to thank the Lord and to sing praises to His name. The things of our appreciation settle in this psalm of God's loving kindness and faithfulness in our life. We look at the thrust of our appreciation. It's not just our lips, but in the way that we live our lives, we ought to live a life of gratitude. And we looked at the triumph of our appreciation, how, and the psalmist said in verse number 4, I will triumph in the works of thy hands. And not just in what God is doing, but as we are thankful, we find victory. And so the triumph of our appreciation, we're made glad and victorious by being thankful. The thoughts of our appreciation, the fact that our appreciation goes beyond that God would perform for us, and settle in on the fact that God is pondered upon us at all. Amen. Every good thing God does is evidence. We determine from Psalm 92, verse 5, that every good thing God has done is evidence that God has been thinking about us. And so that will inspire us to praise beyond what God is doing now. And we would be upon the mind of God. What appreciation you and I should have, we call that the thoughts of our appreciation. In verses 6 through 9, we move from the appreciation to the abomination that is found in this psalm. As the psalmist begins in verse 6 to lay out a contrast between the life of the thankful saint of God and that of the brutish man and woman and the fool. Amen. The brutish man and the fool, they do not understand the works of God. They do not understand how important the matter of gratitude is in their life. They live their life, they succeed, and they, amen, climb the corporate ladders. They, amen, taste of the fruit of their labor, never giving consideration that they owe everything they are and everything they have to the Heavenly
God.
Amen. And what an abomination that this is. The unthankful do not, we said, discern or distinguish and do not recognize nor regard nor observe and appreciate the works, name, position, or the thoughts of the Lord toward them. And this is the abomination that we study, the fact of that friend, anybody who would live their life being ungrateful to God, amen, falls prey to such an abomination. And we won't go through all the things we studied, but amen, we dealt with that abomination, the brutish man in particular, and who he is and the life that he lives. And then that brings us to our closing thoughts, verses 10 through 15, where we began and have embarked upon the anticipation. The psalmist here, the psalmist in these verses, begins to use future tense words and show his trust in anticipating that the Lord is not done working in his life. He's been grateful. He has thanked the Lord and shown appreciation for that, that the Lord has done and that the Lord is doing presently in his life. But his thanks goes beyond what the memory's road would lead him down. And his thanks goes beyond the present things that God is bestowing in his life. But James, somehow by faith, he looks forward to the days that are ahead, and in anticipation, amen, finds it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord for that he believes by faith God is going to do. And so David's thankfulness went into the realm of the things the Lord would do for him in days to come. David, amen, has seen God work in the past. He's watching God do some things now. And yet David still has some things that he is anticipating and God is going to do and rejoices over again in anticipation. Amen. What might these things be? You remember we said in verse number 10, and we see the anticipation of God's anointing power. Amen. The fact that he is going to be anointed again with fresh oil. And without preaching all of it over again, amen, David here, he is anticipating God's renewed touch and approval upon his life. And up there we see the exaltation of the anointing power. My horn shall thou exalt. Amen. A figurative way of describing David's strength, David's power, and David's honor in this life. And in the background of his song, it seems like that has been held back in David's life by his enemies. And David is anticipating God exalting, amen, him with anointing power. Amen. We looked at the illustration of the anointing power, like the horn of an unicorn. Amen. The unicorn, that being that is spoken of nine times in the scripture. Amen. Not accounted to be the mythological flying creature with wings and horns sticking out his head. But my friend, a unicorn, speaking of something that is a near extinct hoof ox-like animal, and is the illustration here that David draws to his own life, and God's anointing power is on his people. And so we embarked upon studying the unicorn, that illustration of this anointing power, amen, being that of strength and agility, ferocity, stubbornness in a good way. And understanding those biblical characteristics of a unicorn are evidence upon the saints of God when God bestows anointing power upon us. Amen. We won't be weak and cowardice. We won't be, amen, pushed around here and forced by the flesh to do certain things. Amen. We'll arise in that anointing power like that of a unicorn in the manifestation of the anointing power. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Indicating the need, the constant need in the life of the child of God for dependence upon God's approval and God's appointments in our life. Amen. Unfortunately, sometimes we, because of who we are, amen, the anointing power waxes from our life. Amen. That ain't God's fault. That's our fault. And we need God to anoint us with fresh oil. And we embarked on a study of the three experiences of anointings in David's life. Amen. A private anointing, a partial anointing, and a prevailing, a vincent, prevailing anointing, where David entered in all that God had for him. And so the anticipation of anointing power, the anticipation of answered prayer, found in verse number 11. And there David, amen, anticipates the Lord to answer his prayer as he speaks of my desire, amen, dealing with David's own personal prayer life. And we looked at a lot of things there. Let's just leave it at that. Amen, because that's probably the verse I've enjoyed studying out of this psalm more than any. And I don't want to re-preach all of that. I'm glad we can anticipate, amen, God answering our prayer. Amen. And that's something I thank God for this morning. And something I thank God for through the day. And something just a minute ago back here praying, I thank God for again. Amen. That we can believe and trust and have faith. And we have a prayer answering God. Amen. I want to thank Him in anticipation for answered prayer. And verses 12 through 15, quickly, we see the anticipation of advancing progress. Amen. David uses the word flourish three times in these closing verses. And he's using this word in connection with the spiritual progress of the saints of God. Now let me remind you, the word flourish, it means this. It means to bring forth or out as a bud. It means to bloom or to spread. And obviously, the idea that you find, the picture that David paints in light of that word, is that of a plant or of a tree that is, amen, sprouted up out of the ground. Its roots are digging deep, and its branches are reaching high, and its fruit is bursting out. Amen. This is the picture of the child of God. And so we ought to be flourishing in this sense. Amen. It also gives a picture. The word flourish gives a picture of wings being extended for flight. And so the idea here of flourishing in these verses reflects a portrait, the portrait of a child of God that is both growing and soaring in their spiritual life. Amen. And so when we first get saved, we're like, amen, we're like Christ spoke about. I know it's dealing with wheat in a field, but how many references the Word of God makes to our conversion being that of a seed that has been planted? Yeah. Amen. The Apostle Paul said, amen, no doubt having in mind that Christ is speaking about in the parable of the sower that one planted and another watered. And there's some that are sowing, but it's God that gives the increase. And that is what our conversion is like. Amen. Somebody comes by with gospel seed, sows it in their life. Amen. Others maybe come by and they water that seed and they tend to that seed. And somehow, some way, the Holy Ghost works in their life. And the Lord comes by and faith is granted and the seed bursts forth. And conversion is experienced. And I'm thankful for that. All the seeds that was sown in my life before I got saved. Amen. And how the gospel took root one day in my conversion. Amen. We can think of it in terms of us spreading our wings. That picture of like, amen, a young bird that has been born. Amen. There comes a time when it begins to grow its feathers. And there comes a time when it stretches its wings and reaches a maturity whereby it must learn to fly. And our spiritual lives, the point is simply this. Amen. The conversion we have, the salvation we have, the spiritual life that we have tonight. Amen. We don't not stay in an immature state. Amen. We're not supposed to stay as little saplings in the ground. And we're not supposed to stay in a nest, my friend, whereby. Amen. We're never stretching our wings and learning how, amen, to fly every now and then. Somebody say, amen. And so David is giving the idea of anticipation.
Amen. That God brings His children along. I'm thankful. Amen. That after near 25 years, I guess 25 years of being saved, I'm not to mind. I'll be the first to admit. Amen. I've not flourished nearly as much as I should have. Amen. And I'm my own worst enemy, and you probably are your own worst enemy. Amen. And the fact that I'm not further along tonight is nobody else's fault but my own. Amen. But I am thankful for this, that, amen, I look back over my life and I can see where God has led me along. I can see where God let my roots go down a little bit deeper. I can see where God has brought some fruit out of my life. And I've seen times where the Lord has led me sober. And, amen. All of grace is a story of that, and God gives the praise for it. And yet we find when we come to these verses that David is anticipating that God is going to do that more. Amen. The flourishing we'll see tonight, it never ends. The spiritual growth, you'll never reach a pinnacle. Amen. I've met some along the way. Now, they wouldn't dare say it out loud because even, amen, even though they know what it would sound like. Amen. But there are some that somehow along the way in the spiritual journey, amen, give the spirit off or have the perception of themselves, and they have arrived and there is no more advancing and progress and spiritual growth to be had in their life. Amen. But may I say we are ever learning. Amen. We are always growing in doctrine. And we're always growing in truth. And my friend, we're always growing in the matter of a holy life. And my friend, no matter how long you've been saved, how many verses you know by memory, and no matter, amen, how many great truths you can quote from the Word of God, amen, you'll never reach a place where, amen, you cannot anticipate that God, amen, has another level for you to progress to. Amen. And you say, well, when's all this growing going to be done? When you die. Amen. It's not until we see the Lord Jesus, amen, that we'll be found like Him and come in that measure of the fullness of Christ. Amen. But until then, we need to be striving to, amen, anticipate God's growing our lives along. And so, amen, we looked at already verse number 12, the likeness of the flourishing. And David likens a child of God again, our advancing to that specific trees. This is not an uncommon thing in the Word of God. In fact, in Psalm 1 in verse number 3, the blessed man, amen, as he finds his delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And as the law of God, the Bible said, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And so the idea that we would be like trees is not that uncommon. In fact, there's an illustration of this in the Lord's earthly ministry, the blind man that the Lord was going to heal. Amen. As he put the spit in the ground and put mud on his eyes and asked him, he said, what do you see? He said, I see men as trees walking around. Amen. And the Lord had to clear up some of that sight again. Amen. But the idea is we're like trees. Amen. And if you're saved tonight and you are growing, amen, there are some specific trees that David points out, the palm tree, the cedar tree, and angry brings it on with that. Amen. These matter of trees. The palm tree speaks of flourishing and fruit, while the cedar tree speaks of flourishing and root. Amen. The palm tree growing upright and straight, amen, has its fruit springing upward. Of the cedar tree, though as great as the cedar of Lebanon, amen, may appear on the upside, the impressive part of the cedar tree, amen, is the root system that goes as deep as it is tall. Amen. And so when we talk about flourishing, amen, we're not just talking about the outward and the external matters that men can see. Amen. The The things that maybe we can portray to men, amen, that having some depth about our spiritual growth as well. Amen. And by the way, that's where you really find out, amen, how spiritual that we really are. Amen. As if when the storms of life come, we can endure those things because, amen, we're flourishing and rooted to the same degree or more, amen, than we are the fruit. And so the likeness of our flourishing. Look with me at verse number 13. And I won't be but just a moment. This is where, amen, we've left off. How do you like that? Listen, 20 minutes. I gave you an overview of Psalm 92. Amen. Let's close her out here tonight. Those that have been planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And so we see the likeness of the flourishing, but notice the location of the flourishing. David says it's the same of God who is planted in the house of the Lord. And so there is a very specific place that David said you've got to be united to. There, amen, is a particular soul that, amen, you must be planted in if you're going to flourish in this spiritual degree. I find it interesting to me that in anticipating, amen, this advancing progress, this matter of the location. And David uses a word here, planted. Amen, planted. And you think about planted, that means it's rooted there, it's grounded there. Yeah. Amen, it ain't drawing nutrition from anywhere else. Amen, it's drawing its strength and supplements from a very, very specific place. Amen, where is it? David said it's the house of God. The word planted here, amen, is planted, and the idea literally means to transplant. And so when we think about transplanting, amen, a tree, and as his text is indicating, amen, the transplant is to take a plant out of one soul and one environment and to plant it in another where it is going to grow. Amen. And I thought about this, that, amen, about our spiritual lives. Amen. Our spiritual lives before we got saved. Amen. We didn't care nothing about the house of God. And I think about even my own life, being raised in a religious home, a Christian home. Amen. Being raised around King James Bible preaching in the house of God. Amen. I'm talking about Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Amen. Revival meetings, mission meetings. Amen. All the cookouts and all the chicken fries. Amen. Everything going on in the house of God. Amen. I was being raised in the house of God. Amen. I may have been pushed to the house of God, but was not planted in the house of the Lord. In fact, I think before I got saved, I think back in them days, I hated the house of God. I didn't understand why. Amen. On Wednesday nights when they said in Little League, amen, Daddy would let me play about 6:30 in the evening and then rip me out. Amen. Off the ball field, load me up in the car and carry me to the house of God. I didn't like that reproach. I didn't understand all of that. Amen. And as it grew older, there was a resentment. Amen. About it. You want to know why? Amen. Because I was not planted in the house of God. Amen. And in those years, in my teen years, when, amen, I was making those plans. What am I going to do in life? Amen. I gave no consideration to the house of the Lord. I didn't have any thoughts of how, amen, living my life anchored into God's house. Amen. In fact, in my probably 16, 17 years of age, amen, I was kind of looking for a day when, amen, Daddy wouldn't be able to make me go anymore. Amen. But now at the age of 17, 25 years ago, amen, when I got saved, you know what happened? Amen. All of a sudden, the very place that I had learned to despise and learned to hate and was not attached to, all of a sudden, amen, I got transplanted. My root system of my life got anchored in. Amen. To that location that the child of God has to have to spiritually thrive and to spiritually grow. I know some folk, amen, they're saved as you and I are, and yet of the cause of physical affliction, say, amen, they can't attend church like they want to. Amen. But we're living in days, buddy, I'm telling people, amen, have lost sight of what it is to be planted in the house of God. I know I'm preaching the choir. We're on Wednesday night. You're here. Amen. So let me just preach it out anyway and grow us tonight. Amen. In case somebody's wondering, is it really all that important? Amen. I'm telling you tonight, you've got to have, amen, the house of God in your life to draw spiritual strength from. Amen. This is where we learn about Jesus. This is where, amen, we learn about our God. This is where, amen, we hear the word of God. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And amen, friend, our lives are grown and spiritually nourished, amen, by being planted in the house of the Lord. Amen. This world ain't got anything for us, amen, to draw from and to supplement our spiritual life. Amen. I ain't found it in the honky tonks and dance halls. Amen. I ain't found it. These are all the things I enjoy doing in life. Amen. I mean, all the things I find joy, amen, in recreation in this life. Amen. But those things do not help me spiritually. And they don't help you spiritually. Amen. And I'm not saying we don't enjoy it. I'm going to get a fishing pole and go fishing out. Amen. I'm going to pick up a bow or a gun or something to kill something. Amen. And short of killing a human being, I'm going hunting. Somebody say, man. Amen. Sometime, but Charlie, we find joy. Amen. In those things. But that, listen, that doesn't spiritually supplement our life. Amen. That we've got to have the house of God. David said that those that, amen, are planted in the house of God, amen, they know they need that. They need the strength they can draw from there. Amen. You think about what you get at the house of God. Amen. Show up 4 times a week. Amen. And there you be taught the word of God, preach the word of God. Amen. Somebody been laboring and studying it. Amen. Been ranting and binding the word of God that presents you the truth that, amen, will help your spiritual life. Can you come in? Amen. How many times have we been suffering some way spiritually? Amen. Wondering about something spiritually. And you walk in and you sit down and nobody knows what you're going through. All of a sudden the preacher takes a text and he starts preaching on the very struggle you're having.
Yes, sir.
And you leave that service. You went in that service wondering, is it even worth going? And you leave saying, thank God I showed up tonight. I got exactly what I need. Amen. Yeah. What is that? Amen. That's planting our life in the house of God. Amen. David said that they did. Amen. They planted. David be planted then. And is there attached to it? And I just believe with all my heart, I'm one of them old-fashioned preachers. Amen. That still believes in the importance of the local church. Amen. And joining it and being attached to it. Amen. And being anchored into it and committed to it and accountable to it. Amen. David said, they that be planted in the house of the Lord, they're going to flourish. Amen. That's just, amen, the location that David is giving here. Amen. What is your spiritual life? Amen. What is your spiritual life drawing, amen, from tonight? What are you searching to feel? Amen. The spiritual side of your life, what are you seeking, amen, to feel about it? Amen. If it's outside the local church, you ain't going to be filled much. Amen. I know there's a personal side of reading your Bible and pray. Amen. They taught us a little song in Sunday school. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. We got a generation that needs to be reminded tonight. Well, they think they can stay home, read their Bible, and pray, and that's all they need. But God gave us the house of the Lord. Amen. To be planted in so that our lives can take what we've been getting personally. Amen. Amen. We hold ourselves accountable to that. Amen. Through the house of the Lord. And then you not only grow, you keep on growing. Yes. Amen. Amen. Notice here, there's something I want to point out in verse number 13. And if you don't believe this, then amen, you just don't believe it. And I'm not going to take issue with it. But notice what this verse said. It said, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in where? The courts of our God. And so there's two separate things that are given here. Brother Joe, I thought about this. I think maybe we can make application when we think about the house of the Lord, that is where God dwells at on earth. Amen. But the courts of the Lord, that is where God dwells at in heaven. Amen. He has a dwelling place on earth, and He has a dwelling place in heaven. And I thought about this, and I think maybe, and I won't embark on a whole study about it. We can talk about it if you want to, but I wrote this down, how we are planted in and how we serve the Lord in His house on earth determines much of our position in His house in heaven.
Amen. I believe that's right. I believe that's right. I don't believe that all saved people's going to heaven. I understand that that's not for debate. That's not even what I'm hitting on tonight. Amen. But it is those that, amen, are being faithful stewards and are anchored in it and locked in, and they're planted in it. And after they are serving the Lord, they are, amen, attached to this place that is, even in the New Testament tag, amen, Paul said it is the house of God. Amen. Thou mayest know, he said to Timothy, how thou mayest behave thyself in the house of God, amen, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Amen. And so a man's relationship, amen, with God's house on earth, amen, has a lot to do with his position with God's house in heaven.
Amen.
Amen. That's why you ought to belong to it. That's why you ought to be faithful to it. People, I don't understand this crowd that says, well, it don't matter if you go to church or not. I can worship God from my sofa. I know you can worship God from your sofa. But God didn't send His Son into this world to die for your sofa. Amen. He didn't send His Son to go and to die on a rugged cross and to shed His redemptive blood to pay. Amen. Your living room experience. Bible said that He loved the church and He gave Himself for it. But the Lord loves the house of God. Amen. And I'm telling you, folks, to take that lightly, and people, and that friend won't, amen, be planted there and attached there. And amen, listen, you may be saved and you're going to go to heaven if you're saved and your blood washed, but I'm going to tell you, David said, they that be planted in the house of God, amen, will flourish in the courts of the Lord.
Amen.
I know that gets controversial because people take it the wrong way. Amen. I know we get to heaven, it's going to be grace for all of us. Grace will be the reason all of us. I'll be honest, when I get to the other side, and you can, amen, choke this down if you have to. There'll be some folk be awarded crowns, others won't have any crowns.
Right.
They'll be saved. Paul put it this way, Brother Larry, they'll be saved, yet so as the fire.
Yeah.
In other words, God's probably holding us more accountable for, amen, our relationship to the house of God and how we flourish through its ministry than we even think.
Right.
Amen. Right. Amen. Amen. Notice the longevity of the forest. By the way, on that matter of the location, I like what David said in another psalm. I'd rather be the doorkeeper in, not forward, he said, in,
right,
the house of my God, than dwell among the tents of the wicked.
Right.
Amen. Evidently, David affection for the house of the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
One thing about desire of the Lord, that when I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple. Amen. David lived when David is proclaiming, amen, right down to our generation, there is a location for our flourishing.
Amen.
Amen. A location for our flourishing that we must have.
Yes, sir.
The Lord didn't die for internet church.
Amen.
Amen. Some of this crowd, I don't know why I'm feeling like meddling a little bit, but Jerry, some of this crowd, amen, as many churches as they are in Cobb County, some folk looking for a perfect church.
Amen.
Ain't no such thing as a perfect church.
Amen.
Amen. And if you find it, one little preacher said, don't join it, you'll be the one that messes it up.
That's it, God.
Is that right?
Yes.
There are no such thing as a perfect church. Calvary ain't perfect, but I thank God I can be planted here.
Yes.
Amen. Anchored in here, just settle in and weather the storms. Amen. When you're planted there, all the storms that come, you get the good and the bad, you get the sunshine and the rain. Amen. You get the spring and the fall and the summer and the winter, but you're planted. Amen. You can do some damage if you uproot something that's been planted.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The location. Oh, a lot of things we can preach there. Amen. Notice the longevity of the flourishing, and I'm done. I love this. Verse 14 and 15. And our aging by time. Notice what David said in verse number 14. They shall. That I love this word. It's a big word. Still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. And I call this the longevity of the flourishing. Amen. The word, the phrase still bring forth fruit, amen, comes from a Hebrew word that literally means this. Don't miss it now, continually or repeatedly. David is saying those that are planted, those that are born again, those that, amen, have experienced conversion's power, there'll be a tree that is flourishing. Amen. We'll be advancing. David is saying, I'm anticipating and the Lord is going to grow me like a palm and a cedar tree. And as I am anchored in that location of the house of God, I'm anticipating I'm going to flourish. And that no matter what time does to my mind and time does to my body, amen, they shall still be flourishing. Continually, repeatedly. This word, this phrase here that comes from this word, it means again and again, or it can mean more and more.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. You see, we never reach a place where we stop growing. Amen. David said, if you'll stay, amen, in the right location, you continue to walk with God. Amen. You continue to let the Lord have control of your life. Amen. There's not an age whereby, amen, the advancing progress is cut off. Amen. You never reach your place. Yes, physically. Amen. You may not be able to do some of the things you used to do. Amen. With age, it may wear on you too. Amen. A degree where, amen, in body you cannot go like you once went. Amen. But spiritually, we can still bring forth fruit. Amen. We can bring it continually and repeatedly. Amen. We can bring it forth again and again. Amen. And with time, I think David is saying, I'm anticipating that even in my old age, amen, my spiritual growth, amen, it is not going to become less and less, but my best days are ahead of me.
Amen.
Amen. I didn't realize this, amen, when I got saved at 17, I thought that was the best days. Amen. But at 42, if I could go back to my 17-year-old self, I'd smack him upside the head. Anybody else know what I'm talking about?
Amen. At 42, if I can go back. Amen. To my 25-year-old self with. Amen. I go last 10 feet tall and bulletproof fit. And on Wednesday night, some of the older crowd would raise their hand and say, amen, pray for me. I'm having this issue or that issue. Or, amen, we come back and say, quit out. I won't ever show up for work day, folks. Amen, I've not been feeling well. Amen, my 25-year-old self couldn't understand what they're talking about.
What's so wrong?
Amen. And at 42, I don't know it all, but I've had enough hard days where, amen, and I'm in pretty good shape at 42, and I'm realizing you're not 10 feet tall, and you're not bulletproof, and you're not going to live in this life forever. Somebody tell me. Some of you young folk better get a hold of that.
Yes,
amen. Be kind to these older people.
Yes.
Amen. Because I won't be one of them, not too far down the road. Amen. Just because you begin to reach Brother L. seven years where the body's slowing down, David is saying, it doesn't matter what happens to the body. Spiritually, those that are planted in the house of the Lord, those that are rooted in the Lord, those that are banking on His grace, they can anticipate that they will bring forth more and more again. And again, they're going to be spiritually progressing.
Amen.
Amen. Some of that begins in your youth days. Amen. Some people goof off so long that when they hit their old age, they're so far behind.
Yes.
Amen. But they go in their old age and they never quite get back.
Yes.
Amen. You young folk, right, and keep seeking God.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
And by the time you think you got it all nailed down, Jesse, just remember, it's always more and more. It's always again and again.
Yes.
Right. Amen.
Right.
Amen. Notice in this longevity, I like this verse number 14. He said, they shall be fat, flourish. All the Baptists in the room said it.
Amen.
I like that verse. Amen. They all said it. Yes, sir. Let's talk about spiritually. Being spiritually blessed. Growing, flourishing. The idea here is the blessings of God are going to follow us. With age and spiritual maturity, we are blessed.
Yes, sir.
We are blessed.
Amen.
Sometimes young folk look at older folk. If you're not careful, all you see is a broken down old body.
Yes.
But in that old vessel, if they've been walking with God, lies some blessings.
Right.
Brother Mike, the young folk better get around and draw from and learn from. Amen. You know why? Because there's a spiritual fatness and flourishing upon their life.
Amen.
Amen. I can call names tonight of people that I've drawn strength from.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And amen. I got it. Amen. Our spiritual growth is a reflection and testimony of the Lord's uprightness. Notice what he said in verse 15. He said to show that the Lord is upright. You'll notice between verse 14 and 15, this is the continuation of the thoughts, the same sentence. The fact that as we grow older, we're bringing forth fruit in old age, and the fact that we're experiencing the spiritual blessings of God, it's not for the purpose of patting ourselves on the back.
Amen, sir.
It's not for the sake of as we get older, we attain the place where we demand everybody look at us. Everybody listen to me. Amen. Here's what I've learned. Amen. I've learned this as a pastor. I've learned this as a father and a husband. If you'll walk with God, you'll walk with God, and you'll be what you're supposed to be. You won't have to demand for them to do it. You'll drop it anyway.
Absolutely.
And if it's about the Lord and not you, you'll have an impact on other people. David said, as I get older and I'm anticipating growing and flourishing, we say for the hell, that is going to be to show one thing, that the Lord
is the one who's up.
That's right. That's true.
David said, I want to show something in old age. I want to show how big God is, how holy God is, how good God is. Notice what he said here. I'm done. He said in verse 15, closing it out, he is my rock. These are things he showed them out that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in him.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Probably the best testimony we have as we reach old age, anticipating that God's going to continue to grow us, is that when we die, people would say, what a God.
Yes, sir.
And that we will have lived our life to such a degree, flourishing in the grace of God, Brother Maurice, that people would look at our life and say, he built, she built their life upon the rock of ages.
Yes.
How do you flourish? David said the longevity is not growing in the sands of this world. Not growing in the soul of your own flesh, rather anchoring into the rock, the Lord God of glory.
Yes.
And when you reach old age, people look at your life. They'll see a stability there, a longevity of growth. They'll go, man, you know what? That brother Mike, he's still bringing forth for it.
Amen. Yeah. Everybody.
Yeah. He's still bringing forth.
Amen.
The branches, they're still bringing forth. They, in fact, it looks like they're bringing forth more and more fruit. Looks like God's bringing them farther along than ever before.
Yes, sir.
That's how it ought to be.
Good. Right.
That's how it ought to be. May that be the testimony of our life. So right. Amen. I know that's a weak attempt at preaching.
Good.
Amen. But I hope the truth shines through.
Yes.